Jesus was given the responsibility of calling 12 disciples to Himself. They were His students. In many ways, He was like a father to them, teaching them, guiding them, training them, lifting them up, empowering them, and then sending them out into the world to try and make a difference in the world. I find it interesting that in commissioning them, He sends them first not to the Gentiles, not to the people of other faiths, not to the Samaritans, the ones who had been like the Hebrews but had continued on in the old ways, worshiping in the high places and become unacceptable to the Hebrew people, but to His family, to the Jews, to the people who He was closest, most closely related to. It seems to be that that is the way it still is today. Jesus teaches us. He trains us. He lifts us up. He empowers us. And then He sends us out first to our own families. Especially us men. Our first responsibility is to our families. I want to tell you a couple of stories. The first one is about a little girl who was praying, and her mother heard her praying, and she was praying to Harold. And her mother said, "Honey, who are you praying to?" The little girl said, "God." She said, "But I thought I heard you praying to someone named Harold." And she says, "Yes, ma'am. At church, we say the prayer. And it says, and Harold be his name. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be his name." She didn't quite have it right, but she was praying to her Father using his, what she thought was, his first name. She wanted to tell Him what was going on with her life. She wanted to share with Him what was happening. She wanted her Father to know what her day had been like. And so she wanted to talk to Him one-to-one, person-to-person. So she was going to call Him Harold. I always thought that was cute. I'll tell you another story a little closer to home, a little maybe more realistic. There was a chaplain in a prison years ago who knew someone who worked in a greeting card company, and the guy from the greeting card company went to a church that he was familiar with and said, "You know, we have these greeting cards left over every year, and we just throw them away. We destroy them. We get rid of them. And I always have a bunch of samples. If you'd like to use some of them, I'd be glad to give you greeting cards." Well, it happened that the next holiday that was coming up was Mother's Day. So Mother's Day, that's a good, you know, a good holiday. And he got a bunch of greeting cards and he gave them out to all of his inmates who wanted them. Let everybody know their greeting cards available for Mother's Day if you'd like to send your mother a card. And a bunch of the inmates did. And the feeling was great. They felt good about sending out the cards. It improved the overall quality of the whole prison, and the warden was appreciative, and everybody thought what a great thing to do, and they were, you know, patting the chaplain on the back and telling him good job. So, lo and behold, Father's Day was coming up, and he went to his friend and said, "Do you have Father's Day cards? The Mother's Day cards just ran over really well." And the guy said, "Oh yeah, I've got a bunch of Father's Day cards," and he gave him a lot of Father's Day cards, and he let everybody know that the Father's Day cards were available, and his clerk was going to pass them out, and he was just really looking forward to things. And Father's Day came and didn't seem to be a whole lot of, you know, good stuff going on. He was expecting all this excitement and went to his clerk and said, what happened with all the Father's Day cards? I thought you were going to give them out." And the guy says, "Well, I still have all of these." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah, there were only four guys who wanted to send cards to their fathers. I've spent some time working in prisons, and I believe this story. Men in prison, almost universally, do not have good relationships with their fathers. They either don't have a father around, or they had a father who beat them, or they had a father who abused them, or they had just not a good relationship. Maybe their father was in prison. Maybe their father was a drug addict. And so when I worked in prisons, I found myself frequently talking about, preaching about, and trying to share with them the idea that, hey, you know, sometimes we don't like Father's Day. We don't like to talk about God the Father, because if our father was a real jerk, then, you know, God as Father doesn't sound like maybe a very good idea. But what if we turned that around and said, wait a minute, just because my father was a jerk doesn't mean that our father is a jerk. Just because my father failed me doesn't mean that my father in heaven is going to fail me. Just because my father abused me doesn't mean that our heavenly father would abuse me. Fatherhood is a wonderful thing, and we celebrate it with Father's Day. Sometimes we forget that not everybody enjoys celebrating Father's Day. Not everybody has a father to celebrate or a father that they would want to celebrate. But we all have a father that we can celebrate, because when we come to know our Heavenly Father, we realize that while humanity is flawed and fails us sometimes, He does not. While it's human to make mistakes and to fall behind and to not finish things and to not be there and to, you know, get caught up in our own worries and world and forget what we do sometimes to our kids, He never forgets us. He never misses a moment to be with us. He is there with us all the time. We are the ones who forget to be with Him. In the Catholic Church, they call their priest Father. We don't do that in the Protestant tradition. We do call our pastors Reverend sometimes, and I find it really hard to accept that title because I don't feel like I'm worthy of reverence. I barely feel like I'm worthy of being a pastor, much less a reverend. But one of the things we talked about yesterday in our In Defense of Creation conference table was the reverence that we should have for God's creation. God has given us this world. We don't always appreciate it, especially not when we find rattlesnakes on our front porch. That had to be scary. We don't always appreciate it when we find 3 feet of water in our living room. We don't always appreciate it when we can't seem to make ends meet or manage or function, or, you know, when things that we expect to be one way turn against us and it doesn't come out the way we expect it to. But God has given us a wonderful world. And if we really stop, you know, with our day-to-day hurry-scurry, if we really stop and look at what we have, look at nature. Look at the beauty of things around us. You know, we've had our recent attack by the killer woodpecker that's destroyed some rearview mirrors and, you know, just acted in a way that seems crazy to us. But God's world is perfect. We are the ones who mess it up. If you really stop and look at the world around you, you can't help but be in awe. I don't much like spiders. I hate running into a spider web. You know, it just gives you that creepy feeling, all that sticky stuff on you. But if you ever watch one building his web, what an engineer. Man, he goes over here and sticks something on there, and then he goes over there and sticks something on there, and some man he manages to get from one to the other, and then pretty soon you've got all this crisscross stuff, and it's amazing. I could build bridges like that. I could span worlds. God has given us wondrous things. God has given us beautiful things. God has given us fascinating things to reach out and listen to the world around us, to reach out and see the world around us, to reach out and be in awe of His creation. Is a moment when I feel like we come close to seeing Him in this world that He has given us. And that's a moment at which we can know our Heavenly Father in His ability to bring things into being. I think one of your kids said, you know, I should thank my Father because He brought me into the world. Our Heavenly Father not only brought us into the world, but He brought the world into existence. And then He watched us mess it up. And He loved us so much anyway that He sent His Son to pay the price for what we had messed up. Wow. What an amazing thing. In our discussion yesterday, somebody said that the city of Miami is trying to prepare for what they expect to be a rise of sea level of 3 to 5 feet in the next 10 years. Do you know what a rise in sea level of 3 to 5 feet is going to do to this state? Most of our population centers are not much more than 10, 15 feet above sea level at the highest. Most of our state isn't more than 10 or 15 feet above sea level at the highest. And most of our people live on the coast. Where's the most expensive property? Along the coast, the beachfront. We were talking the other day about a lot on St. George Island that was going for $300,000 that wasn't much bigger than a lot over here in Tennessee Village, which you can't sell for 10 grand. God's world is going to change. Not because He wants to punish us, but because His world changes. It gets hotter, and we pray for cold. It gets colder, we pray for heat. It gets dry, and we pray for rain. It rains too much, and we pray for dry. You know, we're always wanting it to get back to what we think of as normal. But normal is change. Whether you believe that all of this global warming is man-made or that there is some natural cycle that's going on that man may have contributed to or not, we know the world is going to change. We know that sometimes it's going to see to turn on us when the water rises in the streets or when the storms come and blow our house down or when the lightning comes and knocks out our electronics or when, you know, things happen. And they always will. That's not God being mad at us. That's God running the world the way the world is supposed to run. We just get in the way. It's like the guy who stepped out in front of the truck and got hit by the truck and, you know, was miraculously still alive when the people ran over to him. And where did that truck come from? Well, it came down the road like it had been doing every day. You know, he just didn't look. We don't look. We don't see the truck coming, and then we are angry at the truck because we stepped out in front of it. On this Father's Day, I would ask you to be a better father. But I don't have any right to do that. And so, instead of asking you to be a better father, I would ask you to share with your families a father who is better. God the Father is all the things that we can't be. My father wasn't there when I was growing up, but my granddad was. I struggled with that. But I found a father who would do me right, would fill that gap, would give me what I needed, would help me when I needed, would show me the way, would never miss a promise or a birthday or a softball game. a God who would be with me, a Father who would be with me through all things, a Father who was perfect, a Father who was loving, a Father who cared. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to miss the boat. We're going to step in front of the train. We're going to leave our children battered and bruised and empty and hurting, because we're human and we are battered and bruised and empty and hurting unless we offer them the power of that Father who is perfect, who does all things, who gives us all things, who can be all things. We can't ever be perfect without Him, because we can't ever be complete. We're not made that way. But we have the option. We have the responsibility. We have the knowledge to give to those who are hurting, our children or other people's children, the promise that He will be with us always, that He'll always be there for us, the promise that there is a better place, the promise that He'll take care of us, the promise that He will know us in ways that no one else can know us. Our Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day.